Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. You may have heard of Johannes Brahms. He is the 17th century German composer who is considered one of the three B's alongside Bach and Beethoven. One of his most famous works was the Academic Festival Overture. Here's what that sounds like in modern times, performed by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Now, you may have also heard of Radiohead. They made Rolling Stone's list of the greatest artists of all time in 2005. And just last year, they were nominated for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in their first year of eligibility. The English rock band has been around since the 80s, though most know them for their 1992 debut single, Creep.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye, just like an angel, your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep.
Well, those are both great examples of their independent genres, but your first thought listening to them might not be, these would go perfectly together. Yet that's exactly what composer and conductor Stephen Hackman thought, and now he's bringing that mashup to Southwest Florida in the form of Brahms versus Radiohead. And he joins us now. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for talking with us today.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to learning more about how you brought these things together. We're also joined by Amy Ginsberg. She's the executive director of the Southwest Florida Symphony and the person you can thank for bringing this weekend's performance here. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Thanks so much for having us.
We are talking about the upcoming Brahms versus Radiohead performance by the Southwest Florida Symphony. You can join the conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag of GCO. So, Stephen, have you done these kinds of mashups before?
Quite a bit, yes. Brahms versus Radiohead is one of the first ones I wrote, but since then I've written, I think, 7 or 8 more shows, so there's quite a lot of pairings.
So what was it about Brahms and Radiohead that made you want to bring them together? And, I mean, was it something about them particularly that kind of kicked these things off for you?
Yeah, a few things. Firstly, Brahms' First Symphony is one of my favorite pieces of classical music. It's one of the first pieces I ever conducted. Radiohead's OK Computer is similarly one of my favorite albums. So these are two pieces of music that I really kind of knew like the back of my hand and could really sit down at the piano and play them at any point in time. So I didn't, there wasn't much studying I needed to do to get familiar with the works. So I could dig right in and start to explore what musical similarities they had, of which there are really many.
So how do you decide which artists are going to work with each classical composer? I mean, those two may have come together because you're familiar with both of them so very much, but then was it difficult to find others that you could pair up in such a way?
It's sort of always been my goal as somebody who has, you know, pursued both classical and popular music, you know, in parallel tracks, to combine the two and present the two in a way that the barrier between the genre is broken down. You know, so coming out of the conservatory where I studied, I was always interested in these things coexisting on the same program. So I was always asking that question just because, you know, curating my own concerts, I love them equally, and I'm not somebody that distinguishes between, you know, by genre and thinks they can't go together. So I'm just always thinking in that way. You know, it's just all music I love, and I'm always thinking how to combine them.
Is this, you know, some of the peers at the conservatory that you went to? I mean, would these people see this as blasphemy, or is there a reaction to this that's sometimes like, why are you putting these things together?
Sure, there is that reaction on both sides, understandably. I mean, there are a lot of purists out there. There are a lot of people that prefer their Brahms untampered with, of course, and those people can, of course, refer to every single other performance of the Brahms First Symphony except mine.
Yeah.
But then there are people out there as well on the sort of rock and roll side, on the Radiohead side, that would rather, you know, hear Radiohead in its original form, you know, with the distorted Telecaster guitar and, you know, Tom York's kind of wailing voice. And that's understandable, too. I mean, this is seeing both these pieces through a totally different lens. It's a reimagination of the work. And in my opinion, it celebrates the work by sort of combining it in this way and again, seeing it with reference of the other.
So did you start liking music at a young age? And which came first? Did you like rock and roll first or classical music first? I know that you said that as you were coming out of the conservatory, you enjoyed both kinds of music. But how did you start out?
Well, as far back as I can remember, it's really both. I mean, I certainly have a lot of early memories of classical music. You know, I discovered my father's tape of Chopin favorite piano pieces, and I love Tchaikovsky and Mozart. You know, these compact discs that you get, like, I think we got them at the grocery store. You know, they were like little sampler CDs of Tchaikovsky and, you know, Bach and all this. But, you know, I remember being like 11 years old in Chicago, and I would tape the house mixes on the radio through the weekend. I would just keep my tape recorder recording because, you know, Bad Boy Bill and all these DJs were doing these amazing like house sets. So I can't say which one happened first. They were always just in parallel.
But those DJ mixes must have had some sort of an influence, obviously, the way they lay songs over one another.
You're very right about that. And I honestly didn't think about that until a few years ago when I used to listen to those mixes before and after basketball practice. And I thought about putting one on to work out one time. And I'm listening to this Bad Boy Bill mix, and he's got Carmina Burana, you know, over this complete house beat. And I'm thinking, my gosh, is this just where this all came from? I mean, it's all right there. He's splicing in, you know, Speed Racer soundtrack and Sesame Street and all the, like, cutting-edge dance records of the day. I mean, that really, I think, that must have implanted in my mind.
And you didn't realize it after you've already done this a few times. You're like, well, maybe that's where that idea kind of slid in there under the radar.
Yeah.
So now that we've... Sorry?
No, of course, this is something... You know, remixing and mashing up is just—it's just pretty commonplace in the musical world right now. The thing is, it's not done a lot in the classical world, and I think that's why it's oftentimes so surprising, because we're not used to seeing it in the symphonic space. But of course, if we go to see a DJ, or you know, if we hear a pop, you know, artist has been remixed or mashed up, it's no surprise at all. That's second nature.
Yeah, but for a lot of people, it seems like, you know, Radiohead is one way, and that you couldn't get further apart from Radiohead by going to classical, but for you, they're more similar than most people, like an untrained ear, might find.
Right. So I think having trained as a pianist and having, you know, kind of composed and arranged my whole life, when I listen to music, I'm immediately kind of breaking it down into the basic elements. And when you strip it down, it doesn't matter what the genre is. It's all made of the same musical ingredients. So therefore, you know, it's like comparing, you know, a meal at a diner versus, you know, a five-star restaurant or whatever. Like, you break it down, and it's still kind of the same sort of ingredients, I guess. I'm not a cook, so maybe that's bad.
I don't know. Butter, salt, sugar, the trifecta of taste, right? Just different arrangements.
So, yeah.
So we've talked so much about the mashup. I want to take a listen to one of the pieces that's performed by the Colorado Music Festival Orchestra. This is Radiohead's Karma Police meets Brahms' First Symphony.
Karma Police.
If you're just joining the show, we are talking with conductor Stephen Hackman, who is bringing his unusual Brahms versus Radiohead to the Southwest Florida area through the Southwest Florida Symphony. It's going to be this Sunday, and you can join the conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So, Stephen, what do you think of when you hear these excerpts?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that that one was chosen. I don't know who picked it, but that was a good choice.
That was my producer, Mike. I'll give it to him.
All right. Well, you know, that one really exemplifies the kind of synthesis that's happening here. You know, that it's truly Brahms's and Radiohead's music, you know, coexisting there. So those people that know Karma Police might have noticed, first of all, that the meter of Karma Police changes in that. Instead of it being sort of a 4-4 rock beat, it's in the 6-8 meter of the Brahms. The key of the song also changed to fit the Brahms. So that moment of the first movement of the symphony, that's the closing theme. And, you know, that's one of those moments in the symphony where I thought, okay, here's where a Radiohead song might fit in. And that's how the piece was crafted. I sort of sat down at the piano, started to play the Brahms symphony, and just, you know, with the Radiohead in mind, I just looked for these opportunities to join the two together.
It sounded great in my headphones. I'm looking forward to hearing this live. I want to turn now to Amy Ginsberg with the Southwest Florida Symphony. You're the executive director there. How did you first hear about these mashups?
I heard about them completely by accident. I spent continued to spend an abundance of time online just looking for interesting music as an audiophile. I grew up with classical music in my home and well-written rock and roll. And there's so much content out there. I can just lose myself online. And I completely by accident stumbled on that very video, the Colorado Music Festival, doing Brahms versus Radiohead, and I was mesmerized. Like, who thinks of that? It was, I reached out to Steve to congratulate him on such genius work, and that's where that relationship started.
So then what made you think that this would be a good fit for Southwest Florida?
Because there's not enough of that here. And I know, as someone who is a part of that generation, I'm hungry for that kind of live entertainment. And again, you can watch it online, you can listen to it online, but there's just no substitute for live. So to be able to bring that to this community, and you know, not just because it's a cool experience or it's interesting for Gen Xers and millennials, but because it's an opportunity to expand musical horizons for most people who are alienated from classical music. It is on a number of levels intimidating, and this, I think, reduces that intimidation factor.
Yeah, and I've got to assume that you're a fan of Brahms and classical music, but do you also like the different new music?
Oh, I love different new music. I mean, I'm attached to music of the 80s and 90s because that's when I grew up, but then I've got a 13-year-old daughter who is also an audiophile who is constantly introducing me to new music. I have a boyfriend who does the same thing. There's a lot to weed through, but there's great new content out there.
So how did the symphony prepare for this performance? I mean, did they have different, you know, homework, like having to listen to Radiohead albums at home?
They did get music in advance. I referred them again to these recordings online. There's a rehearsal specifically dedicated to this program because there are some changes. It is Brahms in his original intended form, but there's still a necessary additional rehearsal to prep everybody for this.
Yeah.
So certainly there's I'm actually looking forward to seeing their reaction as they perform this.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Well, I want to listen to another example of this mashup. It's performed again by the Colorado Music Festival Orchestra. Let's listen to Radiohead's Exit Music for a Film leading into the fourth movement of Brahms' First Symphony.
Thank you.
Stephen, it makes me wonder, how important is it who is singing when it is these kinds of performances? I mean, can that make or break things?
Absolutely. I don't want to say the most crucial thing, but it's equally as crucial that you have, you know, 65 musicians up there that are capable of playing the Brahms First Symphony. You know, the Radiohead is the calling card of sorts. I mean, to bring new audiences in, I should say. And we love those songs. We love Tom York's voice. So, like covering any beloved song, if you're going to take it on, you have to do so in a convincing way. So these singers are all special artists in their own right. They're creators. They're producers. They've been trained classically, but they all work sort of in the hybrid space. And I think the audience is going to love what they bring to the table.
Have you heard from anybody in Radiohead that has listened to this? Have they had any reaction?
Well, the amazing thing is that they are okay with us doing it. And Tom York, I mean, I know the band has heard it, and they liked it enough to say, you can keep performing this. I mean, they're notoriously very careful about their brand and precious when it comes to their, you know, the use of their music. I say that I'm not trying to deprimand them in any way. I mean, they're just very careful.
Well, it's their art, right? You know, they want to make sure it's protected and taken care of.
Absolutely. And I mean, they work so hard to establish, you know, themselves and their brand and their music as like the most important rock music we've heard. So for them to hear it and say, okay, this is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of a high compliment for them to not shut you down.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, well put.
You know,
that's what I was trying to say. It took me way longer than you did.
I'm known for succinct. Sorry. So when did you originally start composing these pieces? How long have you been working on this type of project?
Well, like I said, you know, even my graduation recital from Curtis, where I went to school, was, you know, it was a Mozart piano concerto, then it was an arrangement, you know, songs I'd written, then it was an arrangement of folk songs and popular songs, and, you know, there was even some Radiohead in there. So from the beginning, it's just been my interest to again, put classical and popular music sort of on the same level playing field. But as far as creating these types of hybrid works, I would say maybe the last 8 or 9 years. And in the beginning, as a conductor and arranger, I was juxtaposing music, and so playing a complete symphonic music or overture and then playing an arrangement of a popular piece. It just became apparent very quickly that synthesizing the two would be much more interesting and compelling for both the audience and the orchestra.
Exactly. So, Amy Ginsberg, the executive director of Southwest Florida Symphony, I'm wondering, have you seen any change in the demographics of the people that are picking up tickets for this show? I know we talked a little bit earlier about appealing more to Gen X or maybe even millennials who may be, you know, not indoctrinated into the mindset of classical music. Have you seen demographics shifting younger?
Definitely for this concert. And the interesting thing is, leading up to this, there's been a collective locally of, again, I describe as audiophiles, who have become more curious about classical music. So we have a section dedicated to them now in the concert hall, and they've been coming to our Masterworks concert since the beginning of this season. And so this is, kudos, Steve. You are accomplishing exactly what this should, and this is, again, making classical music more accessible and more understandable to a broader audience, and it will ensure its relevance in the future.
So I wanted to ask you, when and where is this performance this weekend?
So here's the interesting thing. We are performing our fourth Masterworks on Saturday, which includes Brahms' First Symphony, and then the very next day on Sunday is when we perform Brahms versus Radiohead at Barbara Beeman Performing Arts Hall.
Okay, are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available to both performances. They're limited, but there is some availability still. But anyone who really appreciates great music, I highly encourage you to attend both concerts, because then you can hear Brahms Symphony No. 1 in its original incarnation and then hear it blended with OK Computer. It'll be a really exciting weekend.
All right. And we have links on our website at gulfcoastlive.org in case anybody's looking for those tickets. And Stephen, I want to ask before we cut you loose, what are you working on now? Do you have any more mashups coming out?
Working on, yes, there are always new pieces coming out. So working on a remix. So I'm also a producer and I create music that goes into the more like kind of DJ space. That is hybrid in nature as well. So I'm working on a mixtape that combines Bernstein's West Side Story with West Coast rappers. And then that will turn into a stage performance as well. So that's the current project.
Okay, so what are you going to put with I Feel Pretty?
Oh, my gosh. So that I haven't figured out yet. there are some good ones in here, I have to say. Like, Drop It Like It's Cool, Nothing But a Jet Thing. some good stuff, but I have not figured out. Missy, she's New York. It needs to be West Coast. That's the thing. That's a good thought, though. I got to figure that out.
Of course, my mind goes right to there. Because I love singing that to myself every morning. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for talking with us today. That's all the time I have. I want to thank our guest, Amy Ginsberg, the executive director of the Southwest Florida Symphony, and Stephen Hackman, the composer of Brahms versus Radiohead. Thank you both for speaking with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Amy, for bringing us the Southwest Florida Symphony.
Oh, thrilled we could make this happen. I am so excited for this weekend. Thanks, Steve.
And to check out some of those other mashups that Stephen composed, you can find the link to his website on gulfcoastlive.org. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone. Our director today is Mike Canary. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.